from 30 for 30 Podcasts.
Brian Patta, senior defensive lineman from Miami, gunned down.
The key to this case, it's Brian.
An hour before he died, he was on the phone arguing with somebody.
This might be a hit.
You want the truth. They just want a conviction.
Being placed under arrest.
We had a killer amongst us.
Murder at the U. Listen now.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. Live from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, it's the Rich Eisen Show.
Mendoza ready to take the snap.
Jeremiah Love. Touchdown.
Picked off. Sonny Styles.
The Rich Eisen Show. In this hour, Dolphins head coach Jeff Hafley and GM John Eric Sullivan. Ravens head coach Jesse Minter. Plus, latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
For the first time ever, the Rich Eisen Show comes to you live in person at the NFL Scouting Combine in downtown Indianapolis. Thrilled to be here with you. Not just with my guys, Chris Brockman and TJ Jefferson.
Hey,
good to see you guys.
What's up, man?
Everyone? But also to see you with us right here. This is a big moment for our program that's been in existence since 2014. This is the first time, as I mentioned right off the top, that we've ever done this show live from an NFL scouting combine with me here and you there. And we're thrilled to be on ESPN right now. To be honest with you, my mind's kind of blown that I'm sitting here on the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN at the NFL Scouting Combine, and we're also live where we're usually found every day, 12 to 3 Eastern. We're streaming live on Disney Plus and the ESPN app. We say hello to our ESPN radio audience, Sirius XM Channel 80. As you heard off the top, we've got a lot of general managers and coaches coming here, and there was also, as you heard, the and more portion. I'll tell you about the and more portion. Yes, Jesse Minter, the first guest that we have, the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, is going to come here. The new head coach and general manager package together from the Miami Dolphins, Jeff Hafley and John Eric Sullivan. And then Omar Khan is going to be joining us from the Pittsburgh Steelers. Robert Saleh, Brad Holmes, in hour number two. If you have hair, you're not allowed on the set.
So I should go?
Bye, TJ. I'll be pretty much.
Okay.
But we're also going to need the seats, to be honest.
<That's true. laughs>
Hour three, Todd Bowles, Howie Roseman, Kevin Stefanski, the new head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, and then Dan Morgan, the GM of the Carolina Panthers, wraps up our first of 4 days here at the NFL Scouting Combine.
Baby.
This is my 22nd combine.
How about that, man?
Oh, this is my third.
Let me tell you something. When this started, we're sitting in a convention center, massive room,
yeah,
where there's all the podiums where the GMs and the coaches speak, and then the prospects start speaking tomorrow because the on-field drills that I'm going to be hosting with Daniel Jeremiah on NFL Network, 3 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, defensive line group gets out there. Every time a group goes out on the field the day before, they speak to the media here. So the D-line and the defensive line group is going to be out at these podiums on Wednesday, which is why a lot of the coaches and GMs speak on Tuesday. And then when we first started on NFL Network, there wasn't a room like this. There wasn't a room like, because on the other side, where it's Radio Row, just like Super Bowl.
Yep.
It wasn't anything like this. As a matter of fact, we were fighting with the competition committee just to get our cameras in here.
Really?
Yeah.
It's come a long way, Rich.
Not kidding you. I've mentioned this on the air many times, and Bill Polian has confirmed it. He was like the, what should I say, Dominic Hasek, Patrick Waugh, and Martin Brodeur.
Turning everything away.
Like, he was sticking everything away. Like, no cameras here, no cameras there, because this is a laboratory.
Hellebuck, Rich.
Hellebuck, pardon me. Very good, thank you. This is a laboratory where all the prospects come. And back in the day, though, they didn't let the prospects have cell phones in there because they wanted nobody to have an outside influence in the way these kids are working out. Now we know you know, people are now FaceTiming after they break a record and they're crying because there's mom on the phone, you know, like DK Metcalf a few years ago. Yeah, there have been some incredible moments here over the last 22 years that I've been covering this combine. But This I don't recognize a room like this.
This is wild. It does have a Super Bowl kind of feel and buzz to it right now.
And it's been just 2 weeks since the actual Super Bowl that you're referring to.
Have they played that game yet?
Yes,
I'm really excited to watch it.
Well, Vrabel's going to be here tomorrow at 1 Eastern
Time. I'll try this bit with Mike.
On Wednesday. Try that bit with him when he's here. Ask him if he's played the game yet.
Yeah,
I'd say no, don't do that. But
which, by the way, it's amazing he got out of New England with 3 feet of snow hitting that area. But in all seriousness, this is the beginning of the non-playing season, all right, where the prospects are all here. They're being interviewed. They're being poked and prodded by medical staffs. They're being tested mentally. They're being tested physically. They're also part and parcel of an off season, a non-playing season, where franchise tag decisions are right around the corner.
Yep.
And then the new league year is just 3 weeks away. It's all jammed into a 3 week period where all 32 teams are making news. And the biggest story of this combine coming in isn't, you know, the first overall selection, because it's Fernando Mendoza. I think it's going to be him. Yeah. He's not throwing here on Saturday. He will be at a podium on Friday, and we put our hat in the lottery ring to get him to sit down with us and be when he's walking around this room here. And we do hope you appear on this program. I'm also freshly on LinkedIn. Fernando,
you know, I start following
them. Maybe I should reach out. I did too.
I start following the day after you brought it
send
up.
Him a message.
My first follow.
Yeah, send him.
At any rate, long story short, is usually the first overall selection is the story for a franchise that's holding that, and the biggest story involving the Las Vegas Raiders, though, is Max Crosby. Is there any there with Max Crosby being so upset with the decision makers who are still there from the previous year? Is he still so upset about being deactivated with two games to go with an injury that they said, we don't want you to run the risk of having a problem with for your offseason, for everything else? Is there something bigger than that? Has he told the team that he wants no part of them? That makes no sense, because he was in the facility on the day Clint Kubiak was named the new head coach. The new head coach said he had coffee with him at the facility, which is great, like the silver and black drip coffee machine, I guess, is where they had a chit-chat. Is there any there with Max Crosby, who says he just wants to be left the F alone? I'm wondering if the general manager, John Spytek, felt that when the subject of Max Crosby was brought up to him at his podium appearance in this room just moments ago.
All the trade talks surrounding Max Crosby, do you anticipate him being in a Raider uniform when the season starts?
I do, yes.
What has been your communication like with Crosby over the last month or so?
Max and I have a great relationship. He's in the building every day, getting healthy right now. We talk on the phone, we text. So I have a great relationship with Max.
So,
okay.
MoveOn.com? I don't know if...
I don't know. I feel like we've heard similar things from GMs in the past, right? And then a few weeks later, that player is on a different team.
Well, he didn't say the magic words.
Right now.
At this time.
Right
now is the two-word version of it. At this time is the three-word version of it. You know, I expect him to be here. At this time.
At this time, yeah. He's on the roster for now.
For now. There's a for now. There's a right now.
Yes.
And there's a
future.
At this time. Those are markers that you look for.
Right.
And Spytek was wise enough to not go down that road and just say, yeah, I do expect him to be here. And maybe it's because he's going to be there. At the end of the day, right? As I have said, and I'll just repeat it one more time here, now that we're hanging at the combine together, all of us, right? That you do not trade somebody like Max Crosby. Stephen Jones is slated to be a Friday guest here on the Rich Eisen Show.
But you don't,
because you're going to be looking for somebody like him.
Yeah.
You're going to be, now, listen, the reason why Micah is in Green Bay now is different from the circumstances as to why Max Crosby might wind up somewhere else over the next few weeks.
Yeah, Max Crosby got paid. Micah was trying to
get
paid.
Plus, someone like Spytek and the rest of the, Raiders organization could sit down and say, we have so many holes to fill. This is a way that we can amass so many draft choices to do all that.
But that's a good point.
Once again, though, the draft choices that you amass would be to find the next Max Crosby.
It's not like and guys like him are easy to find. Right?
Exactly. There's that can prove out to be that guy.
Yeah. Right.
And that's the first line group. That's the first group of players that we're going to see at the scouting combine. I've got my research binder from the great Jack Andrade.
Look, it's not together. Actually your research binder.
Well, I left mine at home. I did.
Okay.
You want to call me out in front of everybody?
Wow. I've got stuff going on, Chris.
It literally has not your name on it.
I had to do our show. I had to do Overreaction Monday, the podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, and the Rich Eisen Show YouTube channel.
It says Jack.
I'm just saying it doesn't say your name
on our flight out here. We were watching the Overreaction Monday on our seat back.
On the seat back.
First of all, we're lucky we even made it here.
Understood. All of those things happened.
Yeah.
So, mine got left at home.
Okay.
You don't have to say it, but I'll admit it.
All
right, we got to stop talking like this.
Okay, great.
Should have just had Liz pack
it for
you.
At any rate, the reason why I'm pointing this out is I'm a great team player.
Of course.
I needed Jack to give me an extra one. But the defensive line group are the first groups that are going to be out there. And these are the guys that you would want to take a look at and say, if we trade Max Crosby.
Hey, that reminds me of Max Crosby. Hey, I like that guy.
Yeah, right there.
And plus, nobody in my estimation breathes and lives and personifies the concept in the 21st century, a quarter of that century in. Nobody personifies the Raider mentality and who you think is in Las Vegas Raiders than Max Crosby.
Yeah.
All right. You know what I mean?
I get it.
Like, he looks like he's in Mad Max. He's got two X's in his name. In Las Vegas, you're one X short of just being, home.
30? Oh, sorry.
Home,
my bad.
What's the matter with you? So, long story short is...
Yeah, but two number ones for Max might be not bad.
You'd give it up. You're going to find Elliot Wolf here and say,
I'm
going
to look around for him and try to talk him into it. Either him or the other guy we might
Your
be
Your first round
about.
Draft choice is too low, though, pal.
Too low.
If I'm Vegas, I'm like, nah.
No, I know.
I'm trading him to somebody that's way up there so I can have the first and fourth overall pick if they're the Tennessee Titans.
We were too good this year, TJ.
That's the problem of being the excellent.
Let's go.
Yeah.
But I still wouldn't do it. This
For
is
two?
The guy. I still wouldn't do it. Mm. I still wouldn't do it. No.
Okay.
Not at all. Because you're going to be looking for him. You need to build around Fernando Mendoza, right?
Right.
Now, you choose him, unless he's basically come out and said, forget it. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah,
but
I don't see that.
But honestly, as we're walking around here, and you could see how you run into everybody every 2 feet,
that's
right?
Great.
Like, it's a convention here.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, happy that football's back, and we're talking ball, and everybody loves ball. Mm-hmm. That's number one conversation here. Sorry, Max. I know you want to be left the F alone.
Yeah.
But this is basically the conversation here is what's up with you? What's up with the Raiders and you? Did you tell the Raiders you're not coming back and you're just
going to
tamp down? I don't know. Whatever it is, until we hit that new league year or until we hit the I shouldn't even say that. Training camp is when you lost your Micah. But...
Sorry, TJ. Hashtag too
sorry,
soon.
Max. That's the story here. That's what everybody's talking about right now.
Yeah.
Because everybody believes the Raiders are going to take Fernando Mendoza. All right, so we've got a lot of speed dating to get to here.
Do.
Yep.
So you guys can free you to walk about the cabin. I got some guys here.
Yeah, we'll hold it down.
We can't go. By the way, you know what we forgot today?
What did we forget?
We forgot to.
Light the candle.
Hey, forgot to light the candle today.
What did you bring?
Just a little.
Hey, look at that.
Because we all know fire regulations where we're at, so we just want to make sure the candle was lit.
Did you really bring a candle here?
I mean,
Los Angeles?
I could say I did it, but it wasn't me.
I would just say that you did it.
It was one of our wonderful crew that looked out for your boy.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. But now I feel like this is a show when the candle's lit. So
okay.
Yeah. So there we go.
And you're looking for every patriot you can possibly find right now.
Yeah. Well, he's uncomfortable because he doesn't have his laptop in front of him. So
I don't know what to do with my hands.
I'm over here, feral.
What do I do with my hands?
All right. Well, Jesse Minter's on the podium.
Oh.
Can you go up there and
then, ask a question?
Yeah. No. Don't delay him. He's got to be here.
Oh, grab him.
He's supposed to be here in 5 minutes.
Well, I'll go get him.
Yeah, we'll make a hole.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Like, if you want to do something,
am I the show muscle today?
You are the show muscle.
I'll take that.
The two of you.
I'll take that.
Stroll around here.
I'm show photographer today. Just,
let's get them all. Now we've got the muscle, and we've gotten
we've got a lot of them today.
And actually, in hour number three, when the show moves to ESPN2, you should definitely stay tuned for that, because we I believe are switching from Howie Roseman to Kevin Stefanski in the middle of the
segment. Like a hot change. All right.
I don't know how we're going to do that.
Let's go.
We'll figure it out, though.
That I might need the muscle for you there. You know,
I mean, Howie's not a big guy. I could just literally pick him up.
What am I going to ask Howie anyway?
He's not going to.
There's not.
Is the tush push going to be banned?
AJ,
what's going on with your new offensive coordinator? What's happening with the AJ Brown? What else are we going to be talking about?
What cheesesteaks and Phillies are the best?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Who's the best? When you're choosing 23rd overall, who's the best Georgia player available?
What SEC guy are you looking at?
All right. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, is there X number of Georgia players they must draft?
Yes.
You know,
What's his plan?
Yeah, exactly.
All right, let's take a break. Jesse Minter's off the podium.
Hey.
And I'm sending my muscle throughout the rest of the room. We're off and running here from the scouting combine with the new head coach of the Ravens when we come back.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Get into the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event and get away with a deal so right, it almost feels wrong. Because right now, you can get great deals on our most popular models, including our adventure-ready SUVs like the Hyundai Santa Fe or Santa Fe Hybrid and the Tucson or Tucson Hybrid. Plus, there's our bold and stylish Elantra loaded with the latest tech. Or go all electric with the Ioniq 5 or Ioniq 9. So get down to your local Hyundai dealer and get away with a deal you'll love during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for details.
Save money and get a better view of the road when you replace your worn-out wiper blades at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Right now, save $10 on a pair of Rain-X Latitude wiper blades. They feature beam blade technology to improve windshield contact for maximum visibility. The professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades for free. Choose Rain-X Latitude wiper blades at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
Our radio audience just returned here on ESPN Radio. We're here live with the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, Jesse Minter, here on the program. So what was your conversation with Steve Bisciotti like? What was that like to be in that man's office and chit-chat, knowing what this organization means to him? It means the world to him, and wanting to, and continuity means the world to him, too. It must have been awkward for him to be in a situation like switching head coaches.
It was humbling, and I think the head coaching change was a major thing weighing on his mind, obviously, over that time frame. I think in the end, you know, it came down to there was a chance for it to have a little bit of continuity, but also a new, fresh leader. And so I think you get a little bit of like, hey, let's not tear down what's been built here for 18 years. It's been very successful. They've been an organization at or near the top every year in contention regularly. And so now it's like there's some things that you can keep. There's some things that you can maybe update and change. And I think he felt really good about all the things we talked about.
Tell me about the offensive coordinator you hired and why you hired him.
Declan Doyle. I think he's creative. I think he's a connector with the players. I think it was really helpful for him to be with Ben Johnson last year in Chicago. Tons of respect for Ben, how he operates, and being part of a new staff as the offensive coordinator. So he was able to really kind of set the table week to week for Ben as the play caller, Ben being the play caller. But he's been preparing for this. He's been in the league. He's been in the league since he was 22 years old. So I don't think the age is a major factor here. This guy's been rolling in this level for a long time. Worked with Sean Payton, Ben Johnson, some great offensive minds, and I'm excited to see what he can do.
Well, obviously with Lamar. So let's get to this conversation. I've got Jesse Minter here on the Rich Eisen Show. Your conversations with Lamar, what can you share with me that you've had with him?
Great. You know, very similar. Like, at the beginning, there's normal, you know, there's an openness to want to learn about me. We did know each other. We crossed over for a couple years in Baltimore. So I think there was, again, like a little bit of a familiarity. Okay, this younger guy, I remember him. We've had a lot of opportunities to talk. I'll try to probably keep a lot of what we say to each other private between the two of us, but I feel like the relationship is off to a great start and headed in a great direction.
So what questions did he have for you that you're willing to
You know, I think public? He was involved in the interview process.
So he was in an interview room with you at one point?
We were on a Zoom.
Okay.
And so that was cool. He wanted to hear my vision, you know, for him, the offense, the team.
What is that that you're willing to share?
Yeah, I think it's a really well-connected team that plays team football, that cares about each other, that plays for each other on the field, an offense that takes advantage of his skill set, but also has plays off of plays off of plays. It's a very systematic approach that we can take some pressure off of him in the run game by you know, handing the ball to Derrick Henry as many times as possible.
You had a big smile on your face as you said his name.
Excited about that.
Right.
And so really just building a system that allows him to thrive and be the MVP caliber player that he's been.
Run more?
I don't know that he needs to run more. You know, I actually think there's times where he can run less. If you build an offense that takes advantage of the under center, the downhill run game, now that opens up a lot of boots and play actions and plays. And then, you know, the great quarterbacks have that ability on the key play to execute the second play. So the first play is maybe not there. It's not the perfect play call. Now he can take advantage of that with his athleticism, his skill set. That's what he's always been able to do and will continue to be able
to do. Which is, you know, listen, I understand the sensitivity of this question, you know, or this subject matter with him about running. We're here in Indianapolis where he refused to run purposefully. Mm-hmm. And it made sense where it's just like, hey, you know, you want a quarterback? I'm your guy.
Yeah.
Okay. And Ozzie Newsome and the Ravens were the ones who said, we get it. We're going to trade up in the first round and get that fifth year of contractual control. We believe in you and we're going to get you up and running literally and figuratively. But I mean, he is in this league where the two-way threat, you as somebody who's, you know, built to try and stop that stuff, knows how much of an advantage it would be to you to get him to do both. And the question is how do you do it? You know, does he want to do it? Do you want to tell your new OC, we have to do it? And that's the question that I'm wondering about.
I think there's high leverage moments where the quarterback's willing to do what he needs to do to win the game or win the play or whatever it might be.
Right.
And then I think there's times where you got to, you know, this is a franchise player. This is a guy you want to be the quarterback for a long, long time.
Yes.
And so there's a health element and a protection element that needs to be in place to where he's not taking some of the hits that he doesn't need to. So I think it's a great balance there. You want him to be what's made him great. I think you look at Mahomes and Josh Allen and all those type of quarterbacks that can make that second play. And so he's certainly up there, you know, in that stratosphere. And again, it's like, can we make the offense help him? And then to where when he does have to do that, you know, he has that opportunity to do that.
So best Michigan defender available with your first draft choice as a head coach?
We'll see.
You got some targeted here?
Yeah.
I mean, you know how I feel about you, man, and how I just loved watching you do what you did. And when I first saw you with the lightning bolt, I'm like, you know, of all the guys that Jim took, you know, you're the one that really just, you know, stuck it in the guts. But the fact that you left with a championship and now you're trying to bring that to Baltimore. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for
you. Yeah, thank you.
I'm really excited for you. You all situated? You got everything going?
Getting there. Like,
okay.
Getting ready to maybe make an offer on a house.
And, okay. How many kids do you have?
3 kids.
How old are you?
9, 7, and 4.
Okay.
So it's my wife, Rachel, she's the rock star. She has her hands full right now.
Right.
Kind of going back and forth.
Figuring out schools
figuring
and stuff
out schools,
like that. See,
but,
people don't get that. Well, they get it, but they don't think about that when coaches
my daughter,
changes, right?
You know, for example, is fourth grade, and she's gone to five different schools.
Oh, my word.
So we've had some different moves.
Of course, right.
Now we hope that this is one where we can stay somewhere and be somewhere for a long time.
Okay. So, and again, what was your first memory of a combine? Where's the first combine you were at?
Oh, probably 2018. Mm-hmm. Just doing like a lot of the informal interviews with the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of seeing it and just
for
being
John,
amazed.
For John staff. Okay.
Just being amazed at how big of a deal it is and really just how big the NFL is and
right.
how everything is entertainment. Everything's a production. And you realize quickly that it's a business, but it's great. And it allows, you know, us to be able to do what we do. Like, this league gives us that platform to
right.
do what we want to do at a high level.
And so who did you, over the years, spot that you can take credit for that wound up somewhere?
I'd say the first one for me was Geno Stone. He was a safety that
sure.
we drafted in Baltimore. Now,
yeah.
ironically, he went somewhere else first, came back there, had a really good year. I think in 23, he had 6 or 7 interceptions.
Sure.
Now plays for one of our rivals in Cincinnati. So
yeah.
that's definitely one that jumps out.
Jumps out at you.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic. And what's your message to Ravens fans who are still wondering who you are after 18 years of John Harbaugh and having a team that, again, you know, where the results didn't hit in a manner that
yeah.
Steve Bisciotti was comfortable
I think the message
anymore.
Is, like, we want the Ravens fans to have the highest expectations possible, which is to win the last game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
We want to internally create standards and create operating procedures that allow us day by day to chase that allow us to get a little bit better each day, not worry about the end result right now, but really focus on the process of getting a little bit better at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Right now is the time to build a team, you know, through free agency, through the draft, through the offseason program. And then when we go out on the field in September, that we're ready to represent our great fan base, put a product out there they can be excited about.
And the defensive side of the ball, what are you going to do?
Yeah, we're going to play Ravens there. Defense. You know, historically, this franchise has been the bar for defense in the National Football League, I would
yes.
say. We plan on getting back to that, and we plan on doing it very quickly.
Fair to say Kyle Hamilton is sort of in the Derwin James role for your defense?
Yeah, I think there's
is that fair to say?
Fair or? To say.
Right.
They're their own players.
Of course.
You know, their own strengths. They're both unbelievable. Derwin was such a joy to work with for 2 years. Love that man.
He loved you.
And so
well,
Kyle
he does love. It's
yeah,
not
really, really excited to work with Kyle. Kind of what he brings to the table.
Right.
He's younger, so he's I think his fourth or fifth year now,
mm-hmm.
And has been already, you know, first team All Pro a couple times. So could not be more excited to have him.
Well, I'm excited for you, Jesse Minter. Thanks
appreciate
again.
That.
Really appreciate everything that you've done in your career to get to this point, and I'm fired up to see what you're going to do for a fan base that is second to none. You know, and an owner who's as generous as they come. He's so great with my charity run every single year,
yeah.
he and his wife. And I'm a fan of the organization and for you.
Thank
really
you.
Really excited for you.
Appreciate that.
You got it. That's Jesse Minter, the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, right here on the Rich Eisen Show, live from Indianapolis. When we come back, the new coach and general manager of the Miami Dolphins, Jeff Hafley and John Eric Sullivan, together when we come back.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Jeff Hafley, the new head coach of the Miami Dolphins, and the new GM, John Eric Sullivan, here on the Rich Eisen Show. Did you guys know at any point in time in your careers that you were on the radar screen of Troy Aikman in any way, shape, or form?
For me, that's a no. Not until this Miami
Not
Dolphins.
Not until this right now.
Kind of the Miami Dolphins situation came into play. I will say it was a privilege and an honor to, once I came on board,
yeah.
work alongside of Troy to get him in place. What a resource, what an asset. goes about it the right way, and just a good guy, like a tremendous sounding board. For me, when we were going through the head coaching process, to have Troy and Dan Marino. Yeah. You know, sitting.
I shouldn't leave him out. My bad. But just Troy's new to the operation that Stephen Ross is putting together. There,
exactly. So. But from my vantage point, to look at Troy and Dan, two of the best that ever did it at the most important position.
Yeah.
And I look at them and I say, would you follow that guy, whoever it was, and to get their feedback? I mean, I'd be a fool not to weigh that heavily into the equation. Obviously, they both thought the world of him, as I knew they would. Troy was awesome.
And so you never really had any conversations prior to a Packer game on the field on a Monday night or a Sunday or anything like that?
No, I met Troy years ago, so I'll give you probably more information than you want to know. I'll make it quick. My dad grew up in Miami. And grew up with Joe Avezzano's family. He lived with Joe Avezzano.
Okay.
Bounced around in the foster care system for a while.
He lived with him?
Joe's family raised him. They both went to Florida State together to play football. And so their relationship is lifelong. Obviously, Joe went on to be a longtime coach of the Cowboys. He and Troy are close. So I met Troy very quickly on the field when the Packers played the Cowboys. It's a 5-minute conversation in 2007. I remember it because it was Troy Aikman. He doesn't remember it. I was just a young scout at the time. But that was our one and only kind of crossing paths. Memorable for me, not for him. But it's kind of cool how life works out, you know?
Yeah.
Small world.
Yeah, I had done the broadcast meetings with Troy.
Sure.
Just being back in Green Bay for the Monday night games. And And then he actually reached out to me, I forget, at some point, you know, before all this happened. And I remember getting a text and said, hey, Jeff, it's Troy Aikman. Can you talk? I was like, yeah, Troy Aikman, if you want to talk, I'll talk whenever you want. I was like, at first I thought it was one of my friends just kind of playing a joke on me. It's like, this is Troy Aikman. It's like, okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure it is. But it was, because I called him and it was Troy. And we just talked. And then he said, he asked me if I ever thought about being a head coach again. And I was like, absolutely. And we kind of kept in touch a little bit and then went through the process. And really cool to get to know him and be able to pick his brain on a lot of things. So that was really our first interaction.
Who is the GM mentor for you? Is it Gutekunst? Is it his predecessor?
It was Ted Thompson.
Ted Thompson.
And then Brian Gutekunst. I mean, both had a tremendous impact on me.
So you're not going to trade for anybody? That's all my Packer fan friends.
What I will say, like within the pillars of our process, those never changed. But Brian was more aggressive than Ted was. So it was cool to me to see within the same process how they can be a little bit different just based on your personality and your way of doing business.
Yes.
But both had a tremendous impact on me. I kind of chased Brian through my career. He was a Southeast scout. Then I was a Southeast scout. He was the director of college scouting. So then I was the director of college scouting all the way up. And so he was a tremendous sounding board for me. He's a very forward thinker. He's aggressive. He's got a great eye. He's good with people. I have nothing but respect for him. But Ted was kind of the godfather for all of us.
Sure. And still for so many in the league, for sure. And, you know, it's interesting that you both come, professionally at least for you, Jeff, you know, you both come from an organization that's gone from one Hall of Fame quarterback to another Hall of Fame quarterback to a kid that's really balling out right now in Jordan Love.
Sure.
Now you're part of an organization that, for the lack of a better phrase, is still looking for the next Marino. So where are we right now on your quarterbacks on the roster right now, John Eric Sullivan?
So everything's on the table with Tua. You know, I've said it multiple times today in different media outlets. We've talked to his reps. We've talked to him. We've explored the possibility of trades. We are very appreciative of everything that Tua has done and accomplished with the Miami Dolphins. It will be interesting to see where this goes with the Dolphins or elsewhere. Quinn Ewers is obviously on the roster. He did some nice things down the stretch. My job is to make this as competitive of a room as I can. And that goes really for every positional room. We'll see what that looks like down the road. There's a lot of factors at play. I can't give you a definitive answer today. A lot of conversations that need to be had. But every move you make affects the next one. So we'll kind of see how it all plays out.
What are you willing to share about the market that you've seen for Tua? since you say that you're talking on that front.
I think whenever you're talking about a quarterback who's accomplished pretty, you know, some good things in the National Football League, who's played at a high level, there's always going to be interest. You know, the details and specifics of that I'll obviously keep to myself. I'd be irresponsible and unprofessional to come on live TV and share that. But there is interest. And I think Tua, I know Tua still thinks he can play at a high level, whether it's in Miami or elsewhere. So I hope that he has the opportunity to do that one way or the other.
A couple questions, if you don't more questions, if you don't mind, about Tua. You said everything's on the table. Releasing him, cutting him is also?
I think it's all on the table right now.
And keeping him, is that on the table?
It's on the table. Yeah, it's on the table.
And in terms of keeping him, what conversations, Coach, have you had with him that you're willing to share?
With John Eric?
No, with Tua. Good one.
I had a great conversation with Tua. You know, he was on vacation the first time I called him in the Bahamas with his family.
Okay.
And, you know, then he came by. He came by and saw both of us when he was in the office. We sat down and talked for a while. Just really just like I would with any other player who's on our current roster, and got to know him, wanted to know about his family, and kind of talked about his football career and where it was going. And, you know, we kind of left it like that. And I told him, I'm going to treat you like you're playing quarterback on this roster and until I'm told otherwise. And that's just, I can look in the eye and tell you that's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's my job to do right now.
And the rest of the offense, what can you tell fans this is going to, in your estimation, look like? What does a Jeff Hafley head coached offense look like here?
Yeah, well, we've hired Bobby Slowick, who I have a ton of respect for.
Mm-hmm.
I love the person. Coached against him when I was in Green Bay. I love the pedigree, you know, really learning for years under Kyle, who I have a ton of respect for as a play caller. I think it all starts with running the football, and I know that's probably what everybody says, but I believe that. You have got to be able to run the ball in this league.
Well, you got a pretty darn good one to start with there in Achan.
We got some good pieces up front, and then watching Achan.
How fast is he?
He's really fast, but he can accelerate so quick. He's got such good vision, and he can make people miss. And then he gets vertical and just gets the extra yards. When we played against him on Thanksgiving, not this past season, but the year before, he caught a screen on us, which I was worried about that screen the whole entire game. And he made two guys miss, and he is just a dynamic football player. So being able to run the ball with a guy like that certainly helps. And then obviously we got to throw the ball, take some shots, hunt explosives, but I'm really going to lean on Bobby for that, and I trust him in doing so.
John Eric Sullivan, again, the new GM, and Jeff Hafley, the new head coach of the Miami Dolphins, kind enough to finish up the hour here of our first day at the NFL Scouting Combine live on ESPN and Disney Plus and ESPN Radio. Who are you looking forward to? Which position group do you think can shine out here at the combine that you're looking forward to seeing, John?
You know what? Every draft is different in terms of strengths and weaknesses. The thing that I pay close attention to is how they compete, how they interact with one another.
Mm-hmm.
I like to watch them all, to be honest with you. I grew up, my dad's a longtime wide receiver coach. I played receiver. I love watching the skill guys. But then we got to build this team inside out. So I love watching the offensive linemen, the defensive linemen. It's hard for me to say one group in particular, but I just like watching these guys compete, interact, see what kind of professionalism they have, talk to them when they get in our room, find out what's important to them in terms of their priorities, winning versus individual accomplishments. We're trying to build something that has a certain culture, certain feel to it.
Yeah.
And I think you take this week as it is, and you can start to connect a lot of dots and cross a lot of T's.
What's a meeting room at the Combine look like, Jeff Hafley, for the Miami Dolphins and for you guys? What's it look like?
What does our meeting look like?
I mean, are you trying to scare these guys? These guys, I've been in some meetings where you just try to scare the crap out of them.
I wanted to scare all of them. Yeah. He told me I was out if I did. So I'm not allowed to. He looked at me, and I started trying to go on the first one. He gave me an elbow, and he's like, knock it off.
No intimidation?
No intimidation.
Okay.
None. He said, you're the head coach. You're not a defensive guy anymore.
Okay.
So lay off the hard questions.
But there's a grease board, right? There's all that sort of stuff?
We don't have a grease board.
No?
Ours has been, and I think he's done a really good job of leading it, because last night was our first night, and I didn't realize we were sitting there for about four straight hours, so, I mean.
Welcome
to the machine, so I got a lot of respect for what he's been doing for all these years.
Right.
But it's really been about getting to know the player, and then having a plan, and, you know, having questions that he's come up with so we can kind of have something to compare each player to.
Yeah.
But really making the player feel comfortable so that we can get to know him rather than just intimidating the guy and not getting anything out of it. So truthfully, I think he's done a really good job, and I'm not just saying that because he's sitting here.
Okay. Now, I've been in some places where they dim the lights. And they just
put the light over them.
It's not like an interrogation scene.
You want to come and interrogate someone for us tonight?
By the way, I'm for hire. I'm a Michigan man, so I go to a campus where the boss's name is everywhere. the business school. I'm not messing around. But sure,
yeah.
I know Aikman
him.
Too.
I really can't invite you to do that. This is his deal. So
I'm sorry.
I'm all for it.
You're welcome anytime.
Put the light on the floor.
No, don't just say
what if
that.
We
now?
Give you the floor.
What if we put you in the chair and get to interrogate you?
I'd love that.
I think we should. I think Let's we should do that.
Be good for TV.
That would be great for TV.
Which is what I'm all about.
Just do it.
Which is what I am absolutely all about. In the few minutes that we have left here on the show, give me John Erick a moment at a combine where you were part of the process, where you identified somebody on the field. Like, I need to dig in more on this kid, and then you dug in more. Boxes got checked. Draft hits, you pound the table, you get him, and he showed out. You got somebody for that?
Eddie Lacy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
How so?
Just, Eddie was obviously a very good player at Alabama. There were some questions coming out.
Mm-hmm.
When we peeled back the layers, what we found out about Eddie Lacy is he loves to play football. When the lights come on, he performs. Incredibly tough, mm-hmm. loves to compete. And I think that showed itself in his time with us. We had to have a lot of conversations, but you couldn't find anybody in the building that Alabama that in their own way didn't say, hey, listen, are any players perfect? No.
Right.
But here's what you need to know about this guy. When the lights come on, he shows up incredibly tough. Teammates love him. And he was all of that once we got him.
And so when you see somebody like that, right, like that moves him up a board when you just know that there's a love of football and everybody just says he's a gamer, that's a metric on in your world?
That's a huge part of it. And he was actually at his pro day in terms of the workout.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what we do as evaluators. Like, if he didn't blow up the testing numbers, he actually ran 4.60, 4.59,
right,
which on the metrics would be marginal to poor. I think he jumped 30. None of that stuff would light it up. But once they put the ball in his hand and he started going through the bags, I mean, you're looking at each other like, this dude's a Cadillac, man. Like, he's really good at what he does. And then when he came to the Green Bay Packers, I'll share this story with you. You go through phase one, phase two, you never put on the pads. And we had drafted a guy by the name of Jonathan Franklin the same year out of UCLA.
Sure, remember.
Great, really good football player in his own right.
Great human, great dude.
Great dude,
yeah,
great,
right.
Really good football player. But in shorts and T-shirts through those phases, everybody's going, man, I think Jonathan might be the better player of the two because he's twitchy, he's fast. As soon as the pads came on and we put the ball in Lacy's hand,
see ya.
All that went away.
Yeah.
The balance, the contact balance, the vision, the feet. He was a marvelous player, really fun to watch. Anyway, that would be my example.
That's why you get the Bucks, man, is to try to figure out who in pads, right? I mean,
sure.
Terrell Davis didn't run very fast at his combine. You put the pads on him, he's in the Hall of Fame.
It's what you're hiring him to do is play football.
You know?
You can't get away from that. This is all great. It's important.
Of course.
But it's a means to an end. It doesn't drive the ship.
Well, congrats on your new gig.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate
both of you,
thank
obviously.
You.
Congrats. You got this is the team right here in South Florida.
I'm excited about
this
it.
This is it. You got a message for Dolphins fans, Coach? What do you got?
My message is, it's like what I said at the press conference. They deserve a winner. And I think this is the starting point for us to build this foundation. And in time, we're going to make them proud.
Okay. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks,
here.
Rich.
Thank you.
Say hi to the boss.
We'll do.
Tell him go blue for me. and I also meant Aikman. Say hi to Troy.
Yeah, will do.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Rich.
That is the new general manager and the new head coach of the Miami Dolphins here, John Erick Sullivan and Jeff Hafley, to wrap up our first hour here. When we come back, Omar Khan, the GM of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Robert Saleh, the new HC in Tennessee, coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.